attitude will determine your altitude, right?
Amen.
So your attitude of gratitude determines your altitude. For that, you need to have the heart of servitude, means willing to serve God. Okay, so it says you have made a covenant. See the shift over here. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, your seed of established forever. It is capital S, which is Jesus. And through Jesus, we are all the seed of Abraham and David. And I will build up your throne for all generations. What is this throne? Throne of worship. Okay? And it says, Selah. What does the Selah mean?
Pause. So meditate.
Meditate. In passion, it says something else. Passion, it says something else. Nobody has passion? Yeah. Let heaven's angels praise your wonders, your faithfulness. Okay? Then, who in heaven can be compared? So, worship is about declaring his worthship. It comes from an old English word called worth. His worthship. His lordship. His ownership. His friendship. His fellowship. Yeah? It's all about relationship with him. So, worthship. Okay, worth. He is worthy. Right? He is worthy. So, he is worthy of praise. So we, in worship, the most important thing is we forget about ourselves. It's very important that you should not be conscious of yourself. You should be only conscious of God. The more you're conscious of God, the more God comes down. The more you're conscious about yourself, like how you are standing, your music, your talent, your performance. Okay, what is trending? You know, what is trending? Okay, Bethel, Planet Shakers. So what happens is you become an imitator. You know, God doesn't want us to imitate somebody else. He wants us to have our own originality. So, like he said, we need to go with the flow of the Holy Spirit. We don't imitate people, we imitate God. So, it keeps on going. A God greatly feared and revered in the council of the holy angelic ones, and to be feared and worshipfully revered above all those who are around about him. So the focus is not the angels. We acknowledge angels, but we don't worship angels. Certain people focus so much on the angels, they go overboard. They forget about the Lord. Talking about the Lord, they talk more about the angels. That's called angel worship. Whatever gets your attention away from God becomes your worship. You know? So your worship is no more focused on God, but on the manifestation. Catherine Kuhlman always says, don't focus on the manifestation, focus on the master.
Amen.
Don't see the healing, see the healer.
Amen.
And the more and more she focuses the people on the healer, the more healing took place.
Mm.
Okay, the more she said, don't focus on the miracles. Miracles are important, but miracles are not the only thing that's important. We focus on the miracle worker. The more and more we boast about the miracle worker, the more and more we boast about Jesus, miracles become normal, ordinary. And greater miracles happen, unusual miracles happen, notable miracles, because your focus is not miracles, your focus is on the Lord of the miracles, on the God of the miracles. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, you know. Great is the Lord, and he has to be praised
greatly.
You cannot praise him with a laid-back attitude, sitting with a mobile in hand, looking here, looking there. No. Either we worship God with all our heart, soul, and body, or we don't worship at all. If it's 5 minutes, give full attention, full heart. Maybe you come with problems, most of them, they come with a baggage, excess baggage, that baggage, and they cannot lift their hands. They just look around what others are doing, how this one is worshipping, and they kind of, they want feelings. They go by feelings. Okay, if it is high energy music, every guy has to come and pump them up, today the worship was good. So worship is not based on the musician. It should never go with the music. Music is high, your worship is high. No. That's not the way. Your worship should be high to the extent that you don't even know that music is going, even the music stops, you still continue to worship God. You don't become a worshiper because you worship. You worship because you're a worshiper.
Amen.
That's what he was trying to tell you. That we don't become a worshiper because we worship. Many people think the more we worship, we become worshipers. The more you sing, oh, I have to sing nicely. I need to practice a lot. I need to have a good voice. The Bible doesn't say make a joyful voice unto the Lord. What does it say?
Noise.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let's look at, okay, let's skip all this verse. Okay. You rule the raging sea, it waves arise, you have broken the Egypt into pieces. It talks about the grandeur of God, talks about the greatness of God. So the more and more and more you boast about God, it causes turbulence in the enemy's camp. The more and more you lift God up, you boast. The word halal means boast or rave. That's where they get the word rave parva. It's going mad, going crazy, going, you know, going pandemonium, havoc. So when you do that in God's presence, automatically what happens in the enemy's kingdom?
Confusion.
Great turbulence. Yeah. There'll be confusion in the enemy's kingdom. You look at some of these people who worship in the streets, when they bring those idols, they beat themselves. They have to bleed. They put the sword in the tongue. Right? The what do you call it? The needle or not needle. I mean, they literally put sword and arrows and spears in the tongue. They beat them. So why? Why did you do that? Do you have any idea? No? That's, they want to show two things, you know. Number one, how much? They don't mind going through pain and bleeding. That's the passion, dance, crazy, wild, rave, you know. Go mad. You know, before the God, where did they learn it from? From David. I will behave even more undignified than this. He must have been roaring on the floor. You know? Yeah. The other time when he was worshipping in Abimelech's house, he was licking the wall. Psalms 34. And he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He was licking, he was acting as if he was mad. He was not acting, he was really mad. About God, not at God, about God. And he wrote the names of God on the wall, and he licked the name of God. And the king said, this fellow is a bad fellow, kick him out. That same day, worship saves you from threats, death threats. The same scripture, Deuteronomy 12 chapter, God says, as you keep reading down, he says, I will show you the place where I will put my name and you will come and worship, and when you worship, I will deliver you from all the threat of the enemy. It's there. It's there in the Bible. You know, what Bible? Is that voice translation? Yes, voice translation. Such an amazing voice, amazing translation. It says, and then, look, you're boasting about God. You're boasting about God. The key is boasting about Him. Verse 12 again says, the north, south, you have created them, Mount Tabor, Mount Hermon, joyously praise your name. The key word is joyous. And then, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and loving kindness. So, you know, this one chapter explains all about prophetic worship. What is prophetic? Declaring, telling forth. Okay, the word prophetia means speak forth. Declare, not foretelling, it's forthtelling. Declaring forth, you know, telling forth. Telling about what? About the greatness about your God. Going mad about your God. Talking about your God. Telling about His name. You know, dancing before His name. Dancing before His kingdom. Verse 15. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied. People should envy you the way you worship God. Oh, these kings and embassy people are crazy worshippers, radical worshippers, the out of box worshippers, out of time worshippers. Amen? Out of sense. Yeah. It's not something that is very, you know, rational, sensible. We should know everything. No. It's something that you do not know. You're stepping into an unknown zone.
You're stepping into the supernatural zone. You step out of the natural into the supernatural. You step out of the ordinary into the extraordinary. If you want God to do extraordinary, we must do extraordinary things. Amen. What did William Carey say? What is William Carey's statement? Nobody knows. If you expect great things from God, you must attempt great things for God. Amen. You write that down. Okay, now look at verse 15. He says, and I'm connecting with what Abby was speaking. Blessed, happy to be envied are the people who know the joyful sound. Look at that. The word joyful sound, within brackets it says in the Amplified, who understand and appreciate the spiritual blessings symbolized by this feast. That's worship. Okay? And blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light and the favor of your countenance. And then the next verse it says, in your name they rejoice all the day. In your name. See the word name over there. In your name. Name means in your authority. In your kingdom, in your, and in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are, now see the shift, it's no more about God, it's about us, the worshippers. For you are the glory of their strength, and you are the proud adornment. Wow. So God adorns you in worship, and He's so proud about you. Tell your neighbor, he's so proud about you. And when you worship, you are adorned. You are jeweled.
Amen.
You are decorated. You are decked with diamonds. You are decked with diamonds. And by your favor, our honor is exalted. And we walk with uplifted face. How do you walk?
Uplifted face.
Not for our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, the Holy One of Israel. So, it says, verse 19, once you spoke in a vision to your devoted ones and said, I have endowed one who is mighty, a hero, giving him the power to have, to be a champion for Israel. I have exalted one chosen from among the people. And then he says, I have found David my servant, with my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand will be established and will abide. There are certain blessings over there. I found David, with my holy oil I've anointed him. With my hand will be established. God says, my hand will be established, and my hand will always abide on you. And my arm will also strengthen him. And then, verse 22, the enemy shall not demand from him, exact from him. The enemy will not exploit. The enemy, your boss, your company, wherever you're working, they will not take advantage of you. They will not take you for granted.
Amen.
Are you listening? Yes. They will not take you for granted. They will not withhold the marks that belongs to you. The enemy will not withhold the salary that belongs to you. He is forced to increase your salary. He is forced to multiply your salary. Even if the company does not decide, the devil decides it. The devil decides that your salary has to be multiplied, your income has to multiply. Here is the key. We just worship the Lord and our increment keeps coming. Promotion comes from the Lord.
Amen?
Amen? Yeah. Not by putting mask on the managers, but put mask on God and automatically you get your promotion, you get your salary, you get everything. Why? His anointing increases. Your value increases because of the anointing. Your value, your not your degrees, not your degree. No. Man, this man is not even such a great graduate or postgraduate. Or, no. But the way he carries into it, he walks with an uplifted face. He walks in, things happen.
Mm.
Wow. Things happen. Files move. Orders come. So it's not that you are blessed by the company. The company is blessed because of you. And the moment you say, I'm leaving the company, the stock goes down. Just by saying it. Say, no, don't leave. Just bend down. Please stay back. You understand what I'm saying? We make the devil work for us. When we worship God, the devil becomes your slave.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Ah, it's there. I mean, you have read this verse so many times. I have read this verse so many times. Have you never saw it that way? Yeah, we better see it with the eyes of faith, with the eyes of understanding. The enemy shall not exact or do him violence or outwit him. Amplified. Outsmart you. The devil can never take advantage because you're a Christian. Actually, it's an advantage for us. We can take advantage on the devil. Hey, I'm a Christian, devil. Oh, I'm sorry. I will not touch what belongs. I will not even cross your street. I will stay 10 streets away. I will take a detour. It will cost you more. No problem. I don't mind spending more money. I just want to avoid your house. Avoid your company. Avoid where you are. You understand what I'm saying? The devil can never outsmart you.
Amen.
But rather, you will outsmart the enemy. Nor shall the wicked afflict or humble him. You will not be humiliated in your office.
Amen.
You'll be singing song and nobody will come and mess with you. Or tease you. Or, you know, this fellow is a Christian. He's always singing song. Don't disturb him. No, I got the important work to tell him, but don't go now. Can you believe that? That's the word of God. Your worship will be considered more important than the work.
Amen.
People understand, wait to come close to you. Why? They sense there's something about you. The demons will start manifesting. Wow. Why? Because of the value that he places and the anointing. Because you place value on the anointing that he places upon. When you value the anointing will value you.
Amen.
You make way for the anointing will make way for you. So make way. And how does the anointing come? The Lord has anointed David. Why would he anoint David? Because
he was a worshipper,
not because he's a king. I hope you get this.
Yes.
What did you get?
He was.
How did he become king?
Because
he was anointed.
Yes.
Because he was a worshipper. You don't worship because you're a king.
Right.
You don't worship because you get stuff. You worship and the stuff comes looking for you.
Amen.
That's what happened with David. Wow. Let's look at this verse. Shall we stop this or shall we go on?
Go on.
I have found David. Say, tell your neighbor, God has found you.
God has found you.
You cannot escape anymore.
Stop hiding.
You cannot hide yourself.
You cannot hide
yourself. You're too big to hide yourself. Look at you. Look at you, how big you are.
Look at you, how big.
Look at your size.
You're a giant.
You
can't
hide yourself.
You're a giant.
You can't hide yourself.
You just can't hide yourself.
Oh, not from God. You cannot hide from God.
Yeah.
You can hide from us. You can hide from us. You can hide from everybody in the world. But you can never hide from God. He has found you.
Amen.
He has found you.
Amen.
We had a small toy. When David was born, somebody gave him a toy. And if you open that, there's a small thing inside. Papa John Paul said, "You found me." With a sharp, screeching voice. You remember? "You found me." It will be inside. It's like a egg, you know. But we will hide it somewhere. So he'll go and search for it and he'll find it. He'll open it and it press the button, it opens and say, "You found me." Oh. So that's the way you're trying to hide yourself. And God press the button.
Woo!
And he says, "I found you." And you tell God, "I was trying to hide and you found me." Okay. God found you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You may say, this is only for David, isn't it? It's only for David.
It's only for glory.
No, it's for every one of us. We are the sons and daughters of David. And then he says, "I found David, my servant." When did he actually find it? When did he find it? Not while sitting in the throne.
Yes.
While he was in the field.
Yes.
Playing the harp. With the audience of one. One eye on the sheep, another eye on God. Just worshipping. Worshipping only for the years of Jesus. I mean, of course, Jesus, dear Fanny. Oh, Jesus was not there.
He was there.
He was not even born. How stupid can you be born than that? Jesus was not born 2,000 years ago in a manger. He was born, he was created before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
How crazy you can be. I know some of the Hindus, they came and said, your Christianity is only 2,000 years ago. Our Hinduism was way back. I said, man, everything you copy from Hinduism is from us. They give you the bell, the man, the spear, you put the bull in the front. You know, the sprinkling of the water, holy place, most holy place, outer court. Everything is from us. Even the linen dress that fellow's wearing is from us. The thread and the bell, everything is ours. There's no originality. Everything is copied and they're doing a better job than us. That's the shame part of it. They are doing a better job. They look at this festival, they bring those idols. How they dance shamelessly. Here within four walls we are afraid to dance. How will we dance outside? God wants us to dance outside. We cannot hide our God within four walls. We need to take His greatness to the streets.
Amen. Amen.
We have to march on the street, declaring the name of Jesus, proclaiming the name of Jesus. Wow. And that is worship. When worship becomes public, when you rave about your God in the public, God is pleased with us. Inside these four walls, you dancing, singing, clapping. That doesn't please God. We have to do better than, not out of competition, but at least out of shame. You know what I'm saying? A little worse than that. Competition was better. And our God deserves.
Amen.
He deserves a better worship than that.
Yeah.
He deserves. Either you give Him that, or don't give Him at all. How long will you do this rehearsal? Inside the four walls. We have to stop rehearsal and go for the life. Main. Now look at this. My holy oil have I anointed him. Enemy shall not exalt. I will beat down. All this happens when you worship God. I will beat down your enemies before your face and smite those who hate you. He literally says, I will slap them on the face. I've seen that happen many times. I've seen that happen when I was young. Those fellows who spoke against me, they made fun of me. The teacher comes and slaps. He said, I was watching you from behind. Even I didn't notice. These kids were making fun of me and I was quiet like that. Suddenly, out of nowhere, she came and slapped me. I was watching from there. He got so provoked and irritated. At that time, I did not know this verse. Now, when I read this verse, oh my God, it happened with me. That's how jealous God is. Because you carry His name. I never read this verse. I read this verse, but it never struck me like this. Poor fellows, he got beaten because of me. He literally, God means every scripture, not figurative. He literally means it. Psalms 3, I will beat your enemies to the point they lose the teeth. Not bite your enemies. It isn't bite your enemies. You will beat the enemies to the point they lose the teeth. Pallana Vodachuramba. It's there, Psalms 3. I read it last week and I was jumping in my room. Nobody was watching me. Thank God. So crazy. I tell people, I don't want to, as a pastor, I don't want to read the Bible. What kind of a pastor you are? And particularly before going to sleep, I will keep Bible very far away.
Even the smell of the Bible can keep me away from sleep. Why? If I start reading it, I will lose my sleep. I get so energetic, I become a hyper. And it takes me many hours to go to sleep. That's what the Word of God does, right? And then it says, my faithfulness, my mercy, my loving kindness shall be with him. Look at that. And in my name shall his horn be exalted. Great power and prosperity shall be conferred upon him. Not because he's a king, but because he's a worshipper. I will set his hand in control over the Mediterranean Sea. And his right hand on the rivers of Euphrates and its tributaries. I love this. You shall call unto me, you shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My mercy and loving kindness I will keep forevermore. My covenant shall stand fast. His offspring, there you are, your name is there. His offspring of worshippers also will I make to endure forever. And his throne as the days of heaven. Children forsake, yes, they break, profane, I will punish the transgression. Now, this is still Old Testament. Because he took the punishment. All the punishment was put upon Jesus. It doesn't pass beyond. Amen. I was telling one pastor, you know, God is a God who laughs, he rejoices in God. No, but the Bible says he is very humble, he was meek. He was lowly, he said, yeah, he's sleepy, sloppy, and tired, and you know, sleeping in the boat, sleeping there, sleeping, laid back attitude, and hungry, asking for water. He looked at me, why I brought Jesus to this level, you brought him to this level. But that Jesus is the Jesus of the Old Testament, BC, before crucifixion. But do you know about the Jesus after resurrection? I can worship the Jesus who was before, the Jesus which is written in the Gospels. That's not the Jesus I follow. Those jokers wrote all those four Gospels. They forgot about the Jesus after resurrection is the Jesus.